Welcome to The Art of Semi-Fiction. I am Robin Miller.
And I'm Jane Daly.
And we are going to be talking today about free writing.
Free writing. That sounds fun.
It is fun. And it has a great application in both semi-fiction. Semi-fiction is the whole thing. Fiction and nonfiction. It has a great application.
Well, let's talk about how that's going to work.
Okay. So there are two definitions of... I'm going to cover my notes. I'm not letting you see. I want you to tell me what your definition of free writing is. I have two.
My definition of free writing is writing where you take it would be to take a picture, see a picture, and to write something about that without stopping for, set your timer, 10 minutes, and just write what comes to mind. Just kind of an info dump. Doesn't have to be good, doesn't have to make sense, just write.
So for you, there's a picture involved, a time limit, and go.
Yes.
Like that. That's one of my two, although I just thought of a third. One of mine is writing without a goal, just generally loose. It's just sitting down and letting whatever come, not thinking about a picture, just writing. Mm-hmm. So writing without a goal, and it can be a time limit. You can just start. You can just write until you're done writing. Just literally sitting down and not saying, I'm going to write a chapter on, or right. I'm going to work through this scene or whatever. Just literally going, I'm sitting down, putting my fingers on the keyboard or pen in hand, mm-hmm. and going.
Mm-hmm. Going.
And the other one is kind of between that one and your one, I think.
Okay.
It's a little bit, actually it's on the other side of yours. This is on the far side. It's writing to a stated and specific goal for a defined period of time. And what I mean by that is, because we do a Christian writers retreat in Lake Tahoe every mm-hmm. year. And one year we did a free writing exercise, just as kind of a fun thing we did.
Yeah.
You know, just we're all hanging out in Lake Tahoe a little bit. And I showed a picture of a house. Mm-hmm. And the parameters were the timer, which you talked about earlier, but I also, it was kind of a dilapidated house. And I said, write as if that was your childhood home and you couldn't wait to get out of it. Now describe it. I said, what I said is describe that house, mm-hmm. but with that in mind, those were the parameters. And everybody wrote furiously for the 15 minutes. And I said, okay. Now you're going to describe that house, the same dilapidated, old house, kind of neglected. Now you're going to write a description of that house as if it was the house that you had the best childhood anybody could possibly have. So those were all the parameters. So mm-hmm. in your example, you just said there's a picture. I'm going to write whatever comes from that picture. Mm-hmm. But I tightened it even more, saying, give me, if that was a horrible situation, describe the house, not just because some people, if you just say free write, they might say, you know, they might have a dialogue or they might have characters and they might whatever. I limited it to describing that house, but with one thing in mind, and then describe the house with another thing in mind. So those are the three kind of things that you can have as free writing. Why do we do it? Why? Give me some reasons why you ever would free write.
Very specifically, there was a time when I was writing the caregiving book that I wrote, The Caregiving Season, and I was stuck. And so I sat down and said, I just started writing. I said, I hate my life. My life sucks. I'm taking care of my mom. I'm very unhappy about it. I'm feeling sorry for myself. And I started writing all the emotions that I was feeling. And then as I kind of got that gunk out and kept writing, I realized that the second half of what I wrote, I could actually use in the book. I didn't put in the book, my life sucks, I hate my life, my mom is, you know, driving me crazy. But it loosened up that, almost like a snake in your drain or a plunger in your toilet.
Yeah.
It got rid of that clog.
Yeah. It was an emotional dump.
Yeah,
you needed to get through those emotions mm-hmm. before. Yeah. That's absolutely one of the benefits of writing.
That's only one reason.
That's a great reason though. Some people do it as like because you are a morning person. I think we've established in our relationship, we are like the odd couple, pretty much. Look at her trendy little hair. You can't see this on the podcast, but if you go to our video podcast on YouTube, you'll be able to see her cute little trendy hair. And she's got good posture. I always say she's got freakishly good posture. And I'm just kind of, you know, round.
And I'm the morning person.
And I'm not. Yeah. Right? So we're kind of an odd couple. But there are people who, like you, who write in the morning. You'll get up stonking early, go to your little spin class, and then come back, and at 6 o'clock, you're writing for 2 hours. Okay, yeah, that would not work for me at all. I'd be like high-fiving you on my way to bed.
Right.
When you're waking up. That's pretty much how we work, because I'm definitely a night person. I can work on a few hours of sleep as long as those few hours are not from like 8 to, you know, 11 at night. I cannot get up early, but I can go to bed late and work on not much sleep. But my creative juices happen at night. But a lot of people use this as their cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So it's they're up and they want to be, and they're able to write. I would be, you know, my kids know. All four of my children knew. I wasn't mean in the morning. I wasn't grumpy. It's just like, I needed to be quiet. I needed to let's ease into the day. My brain, if I said at 6 o'clock, sit down and write for 2 hours, it would laugh and laugh and laugh, right?
Yeah. And if I had to write after 9 o'clock at night, it would be gibberish.
What we really need to do with our friendship, we really need to live in like different time zones of like countries so that your morning and my late night are somehow the same so that we can collaborate better.
Boy, that would be better.
Because right now there's just no, because my best stuff happens after 11 o'clock at night. Oh, 11 yeah,
my,
to 3?
My best sleep happens after 11 o'clock at night.
11 to 3 is like my golden hours. I mean, it really is.
For me too.
But even then, I mean, some people do use free writing in the morning to just, you know, get the juices flowing. It's kind of like the breakfast for your brain.
Anytime that you're writing, if you're sitting down to write and you're thinking, I am so stuck right now.
Yeah.
Free writing is a great way to get unstuck.
Absolutely.
Even if you're a great, very prolific writer, there are times where you're going to be stuck and you're going to need something to get that creative juice rolling.
Absolutely. I also, so we've got unstuck, we've got limbering up your kind of mind, getting ready for your real writing. We get the emotional dump so that sometimes our emotions are blocking us mm-hmm. from writing. So all those are great reasons. There's no wrong reason to free write. Free writing is always good. It's kind of like exercise. No exercise you do is bad, right? Unless you're hurting yourself. But there's no exercise that you're going to say, well, yeah, that might be more beneficial than this, but you're walking. You know, mm-hmm. you don't need to climb a mountain. It's kind of the same thing. But there are actually some really good practical reasons for free writing. Okay. Some really good, let's do this for a particular reason. One of them is to see if you're having trouble in the scene, for example, and your character, writing it from one character's point of view, whether that's narrative, so whether it's memoir, creative nonfiction, and you're the character, or you're writing in fiction, and that it's just not working for whatever reason. There's like something lurking in the room of your scene, and you mm-hmm. don't know what it is. A good exercise is to write that scene from another point of view.
Oh, that's a good point.
And not necessarily that you're going to use it, but to find out what's going on.
So like if I'm stuck with my main character, who's the female,
yep.
and she's having trouble and I can't get through it, write the scene as if her husband was walking through the door
or her kid scene. Or her neighbor or uh-huh. whatever, okay. something so that you're seeing it from a completely different point of view. And of course, as soon as you do that, your perspective shifts because it's like a camera angle. Instead of looking through the eyes of your main character, whether that's you or someone else, you're observing. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you make that switch, you notice different things. And if you then say, I'm going to just describe this same scene, and see what that other person might notice, what that other person might see in the face of the character you're struggling to write. So that's a wonderful way of getting more information about a scene. What is really going on mm-hmm. here? And especially in relationships that, for example, the memoir that I finished, there are some scenes in there. I knew, because it's my memoir, it's my story. So I can write from me. But I realized that my mom was coming off. I mean, my mom was a very complicated woman, as mm-hmm. we all are. Mm-hmm. My mom was a complicated woman. She had abuse in her childhood. There was a lot of horrible things that made up her. And she was very complicated. But when I wrote her, she just looked horrible. I mean, yeah. She just looked awful. And I loved my mother. My mom was a broken woman and she had a lot of issues, but she had a lot of wonderful qualities. And I didn't want to, in the telling of my story, I didn't want to end her like anybody's good, you know, memory of her. I didn't want to do that. So when I had a scene that I was just writing from my perspective, it just came out too ugly. So
like Cruella DeVille or something.
Kind of. I mean, it made her just seem like she had a gin and tonic in one hand, a cigarette in the other, and, you know, just was a mess. And, you know, sometimes she drank tea. So, I mean, that was a lie. So what I did there, in realizing that I couldn't write her in a way that was truthful, so I didn't want to paint her as, you know, the Partridge Family mom or somebody, you know, I wrote some scenes from her perspective and tried to get inside her head. Why did she do that? Why did she say that to me? And it was like, I'm writing it going, I had never thought of that. I had never looked at that from my mother's point of view. And it just gave me I've always loved my mom, but you know, we had some daughter stuff and
yes. Don't we all?
Yes. And because she had a lot of abuse and horrible things, and we had my childhood was very traumatic. One of her husbands was extremely abusive. So we had some real broken stuff. But it just gave me a new love for her. Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote her, I was able to write her, I hope, as a far more complex character instead of what it came across as she had checked out of motherhood mm-hmm. kind of thing. And she really hadn't. She was just struggling with it.
She was doing
it.
The best she could.
So
and you realize that through the free writing of her from her perspective.
Exactly.
Oh, that's an excellent tool.
So helping you to understand your characters mm-hmm. and the relationships. And even fictional characters, if you're stuck and you feel like, you know, their dialogue is kind of stuffy or they don't seem to be connecting or there's, you know, you're trying to get them to have some conflict, but they just seem like buddy, you know, whatever it is, there's a lot of things you can do. You can write a scene from a completely different point of view. So a different gender. You can write from a bystander. What would a bystander say if they saw my mom and me having a conversation or, you know, kind of a thing? Or from a different emotional perspective. So I'm writing the story of my childhood in this memoir, or part sections of it were backstory about my childhood. But I'm also Robin the grown up, Robin the happily married, you know, mother of four. You know, so I had to, at some points, I'm like, what did 4-year old Robin think? What was 4-year old Robin's emotional reaction to that? And to try to peel away all the things when I would write that were old Robin looking at young Robin was important.
And this is a really important way to discover your voice. And I know we're going to probably talk about that in a future podcast. But discovering your voice part of discovering your voice can be taking a scene and writing it from a different person's perspective.
Exactly.
So you see somebody walking down the street with a cane and somebody trying to help them across the street. So you can write it from the person with the cane, from the person who's trying to help them, and from somebody who's watching. That really helps you discover your voice.
Absolutely.
So it's not a wasted exercise, or it's not just a one-dimensional exercise.
And that exercise that you just talked about, writing the same scene from three different perspectives, tell you where's the best angle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think of yourself as a filmmaker,
right.
They're always constantly saying, where is the angle that's going to get that best view and encompass the most information about this scene. Mm-hmm. So as a writer, we need to do that. We don't need to just think linearly, you know, we're always going to be in the first person or whatever it is we've chosen. Mm-hmm. You can kind of play around with it and figure out how is this story best told. Mm-hmm. So that's another great practical application. I know that we've talked about your two nonfiction books that you've written. You've written your novel writing as well. And all of them have some aspects of difficult subjects involved.
Right.
Have you at any point felt stuck anywhere and you needed to free write? Have you ever felt like you've come to a wall that you just think, Well, you thought, well, you just said one, didn't you? You said that was the one with your mm-hmm. with your mom and your mm-hmm. that one. But what about your novel? Have you ever felt like I'm either so emotionally involved or I'm just struggling with something, so I'm going to take it from a different angle for a minute, and you got a little bit of a reprieve, you got a little of insight?
Not yet.
Well, maybe you need to.
I think I'm going to do that as soon as we're done with this podcast.
Well,
I mean, truly, because here I'm stuck feeling like I don't even know where this thing is going, and maybe just taking some time to free write will give me the insight. I help clear the brain. I mean, as writers, we get a lot of stuff rolling around in there.
Yeah.
There's not only the writing and where's it going and what am I writing about, but it's also the pressure to perform. I don't know. I put a lot of pressure on myself. Well, I have to have this book finished by the end of November. Well, it's the end of January now and I still haven't finished it. So yeah, it's that pressure and that I think it muddies us.
I think
it's free writing can maybe help that stream of creativity flow a little bit better.
And I think another practical thing it does is we forget. We've talked about one of my favorite authors who's not published yet, but when she does, she's going to publish 10 things in a year. She's just amazing. But when she first started writing, she writes in literary fiction, and her kind of forte is description. And oh my gosh, you could just take a bath in them. Mm. They were just rich and delicious and gorgeous. And I didn't care that there was no point really other than the beautifulness of them. I mean, they weren't really serving the story very well, but oh my gosh, I didn't care. I so didn't care. They were so beautiful. So we've been talking about how description needs to do work. Everything in your book, whether it's a fiction or nonfiction book, it's got to be there for a reason. So even describing a scene has to do some work. Mm-hmm. So in that example that we talked about that we had done at the Lake Tahoe Writers Retreat, when I said, right, describe this dilapidated house, as if you had a great childhood there. Describe this house as if you had a horrible childhood there. Now, if you take out, nobody who's reading it is going to hear the instruction, describe this house as if you've had a bad childhood mm-hmm. there. But you were there. Weren't the descriptions like not even the same house? It almost sounded like the richness of the joy that came through in this dilapidated house description was palpable. And the trauma that came through, just the description of the sagging boards and the peeling paint
and the hiding places.
Exactly. So the choices we make when we write about something, need to be intentional.
Well, the other thing that I believe that free writing helps you with is really to discover what you're writing about.
Yeah.
So I have a picture on my bulletin board, and it's of my brother and my grandmother and me, and I was maybe 17, 18 years old, and we were in Europe, and we all have we're eating fondue. So we all mm-hmm. have fondue forks and we're smiling as we're plunging it into the fondue pot. You can't see the fondue pot, but I started free writing and I'm talking about stabbing things that are moving and killing, and we're all smiling as they're sizzling. And I thought, wow, why am I writing this stuff? This is so ugly. And yet it was such a wonderful time. So it really makes you realize, wow, I'm really good at writing this. Whereas writing about the house where I had a great childhood, I had a great childhood, but it was more difficult for me because I really wanted to write about having the horrible childhood and the scariness of the trees.
Well, and that kind of goes to when you say, find out what you're really writing about. Then maybe your childhood was fine, but maybe there was something inside of you that an experience or just, a lot of kids just kind of come out of the chute feeling not good enough, or, they make a mistake when they're young and they feel like it brands them or whatever. There's something in you that you've had some experiences that was connecting to. So it may have come out in a picture of your family, but the theme might have come from somewhere completely different. So you can, when you're free writing and we've also gone through this, in a course I do on learning what you're really writing about. You go through a series of exercises and you can't help when you do those exercises, those writing exercises, you can't help but write about what's important to you. It comes to the surface. So that's another practical reason for doing some
free writing. What are you writing about? What are you good at?
And what?
Because I don't tend to be good at writing happy and light. I've had a happy and light childhood. Why am I not good at writing happy and light?
Because there's something in you.
Something broken.
But there's some event that is, it's important to you. It's a theme. For whatever reason, it's a theme that you feel strongly about. And so that doesn't mean you didn't have a happy childhood. It means that you, when you write about anything, those themes are going to come out. There's going to be something in you that wants to explore that side. So I feel like free writing seems to be, some people think it's just a waste of time. And I have to say, when I first started writing, because I had the four kids, I had the special needs kids, I had a very full life, lots of therapists and lots of, you know, things with my kids that had medical issues and things. I thought, if I'm going to write, I'm going to write efficiently. I'm going to know exactly. I'm not going to waste time on fluff.
Yes.
And I'm going to write the final draft as the first draft, and it's all going to be good. I now find that free writing helps me to write more efficiently and learn more about my characters, learn more about what I really want to write about, what I really want to say, gives me the best angle to write from when I explore different angles. All of that happens when I free write. So my writing is actually faster and better when I take the time mm-hmm. to free write. So whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction, I think it's a great tool.
It's a good exercise to do is to free write and to schedule time to do it.
Yes. I mean, I think it's kind of like the devotionals of writing. I think you should just schedule a time.
And there's something that... So I find a lot of my free writing takes place in my journal,
yeah.
which we're going to talk about at a later podcast is about journaling, but that's a good place to free write. If you feel like, you know, I don't want to sit at my computer and do that because it's going to be a waste of time, write it in your journal.
Yeah.
As you're having your devotion, you can free write to God.
Exactly. And that idea of not having any, there's wonderful things that you can learn from it. Free writing is free writing.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be
let it be free.
Let it do work for you. Let it not
be free.
Exactly.
Be free.
Exactly. Well, this has been The Art of Semi-Fiction. I am Robin Miller.
I'm Jane Daly.
And we are, we're struggling with our tagline because we're a little tired today. We explore every corner of the written word. That is what we do.
Every corner
of the written word. That is what we do. So I hope that you will subscribe. I hope that you will share. And I hope that we will see you next time.
Thank you.